6 PR.
This is Talking Property on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
And thank you to Lisa for the news. And Lisa will be back just ahead of Sports World with another bulletin of 882 6PR news on this very warm day. Good for home opens. Rob, do it as long as the aircon is working and there's a pool.
Absolutely, yeah. It's one of the last weekends before Christmas to be out buying this weekend, next weekend. So a good opportunity.
That's very good.
Always is.
All right, 9221882. If you'd like to ask Rob a question, we've got $100 cash thanks to Summit Homes and to Summit Projects, really, a division of Summit Homes, summitprojects.com.au. Now, property taxes.
But we're talking our favourite subject.
Investments, yeah.
Taxation and property today.
Yes, well.
Because don't we like paying our taxes?
No, we don't, but we have to. Unfortunately,
we do have to.
It's a necessary evil. And here to help us through this minefield from Aria Partners is Mark Zaglinski. G'day, Mark. How you going, mate?
Morning, Harvey. Very well. Morning. And Rob, good morning to you as well.
Good morning to you, mate.
I couldn't believe it when you first walked in this morning, because everyone's saying, yeah, it's been a bit quiet, it's going to be all right in the new year. You've been run off your feet.
Yeah,
why?
No, we've had a busy 6 months. I mean, it's always busy in the tax field. Things are changing, you know, particularly when you've got elections and there's all sorts of talk
about what might
happen.
Change the goalposts all the time,
don't they? So we have to do a bit of planning and preparation for that. And plus, tax is just one of those things we have to live with.
And, of course, everybody wanted to get things done before Christmas.
Yeah, it's nice to get your taxes done before Christmas. And if there's a refund, get that refund, but just get the house in order as well.
Because a lot of the lodgement times are sort of March, April, aren't they?
Look, it depends. Yeah. It depends whether you're a company or you're an individual. And it depends also whether you're paying tax or getting a refund.
And obviously, if you're getting a refund from the tax office
at the moment for various reasons.
Funny about that. Perhaps their income is not quite as high this tax year or last tax year as it was the year before.
And they're a little bit more enthusiastic about doing their tax returns.
Yeah. That's why you're busier earlier. I can understand that. Absolutely.
Yes,
come
indeed.
To think about that, I better start getting mine prepared, because I'm definitely not paying as much tax as I was in previous years.
I have a lovely accountant, Jane, who just keeps revving me up to say, where are you? And the quarterly bass, you know, all that sort of thing.
Have you got your shoebox ready?
Funnily, you should say
that. What you do is you get your shoebox, you put all your receipts in it, and then you go and see your accountant and say, work it out.
You're not going to believe this, but my...
You love it, don't you?
Funnily enough, and I'm just... I'm pretty well organised in certain areas of my life, but that is not one of them. And my previous accountant, and he'd be laughing, Greg Parker, if you're listening, mate, he used to shake his head because I did. And I actually did put everything in a shoebox once just for a laugh, and he just threw his hands up in the air. But he was great, and Jane's magnificent. So it's important. No, seriously, it is important to get a specialist in the area. So in regards to property, Mark, how does your service differ from a tax accountant?
Well, look, property, all areas of tax now are getting more and more complicated, basically. Mm. So what people try and do is they try and find someone who knows a little bit about the subject area that they're interested in. Okay, so property is quite specialist, and it differs between whether you're an investor, whether you're a developer, or whatever it might well be. So it's just good to go and try and find someone who might know a little bit about the area and give you the right advice.
Mm. Well, there's a lot of misunderstandings, isn't there, in relation to taxation and property?
Indeed.
Particularly between capital gains tax and income tax.
Correct.
Whether you're a developer, i.e. would be income.
Yep.
Capital gains tax, the normal situation with your mum and dad investor looking at an investment.
Yep.
And a lot of concessions there too that you've got to make sure
that
you take advantage of.
That's right. You know, it might be your principal residence. It might have been principal residence for a period of time. You might have gone away for a while. You might have had multiple residences. And of course, then you've got the whole GST dilemma as well.
And you've got negative gearing.
That's
really
now,
important.
Now, GST, talk about GST. Lovely, yeah. We won't talk about cakes here, but GST, my goodness, it is complicated and difficult as an agent when you go to sell a property and you go, wait a minute, what's the GST implications here?
Yeah.
And you think, wait a minute, we're not tax consultants. It's not for us to take advice on this. You've got to push back to your client and say, look, you better get the right advice before you sell this property, because if GST is applicable, there's 1/11th, or you say 10%, close enough, to of the sale price that you may have to pay.
That's right. And it all comes down to the contract sometimes as well. So you and I, Rob, have seen situations where people go to auction not quite certain what their GST situation is going to be.
Not a good idea.
No. And it's a bit too late the week before to try and start thinking about that.
Try and get your accountant to suddenly give you advice the day before the auction.
Yeah, you might need to go to the tax office and get a ruling on it. So, it's just one of those areas, you know.
How long would that take? That'd take at least 6 weeks?
Well, it, it can take 6 weeks. It can take longer if it's a really complicated situation. But, yeah, you know, the more time you have, the better prepared you'll be, and the right answer will come out of that.
Because there is actually four different treatments for GST, isn't there, when you sell a property?
Is that right?
there might well be. All I know is the REWA form has four different things. GST.
Yeah, so look, depending on whether you're buying and selling a property, whether you're renting a property.
I'm trying to tell you, you're the accountant.
Yeah, goodness,
you're the accountant.
How many hours do we have this morning?
I'm a reformed accountant because I started accounting with you some 25 years ago and now I've moved on
you're
30
smart,
years ago.
So look, it really depends. You know, I mean, there is a concession when they brought in the GST rules about residential rentals, right?
Yes.
So GST doesn't apply to residential retails, rentals, should I say. Does apply to commercial property. Some commercial property owners may not be registered for GST because they don't lease it for enough because there's a threshold of $75,000. Some may choose to be registered even though they're earning less than that.
Like I said, it's a very simple tax.
Then there's the margin tax that can apply, all right? The margin scheme as well, right? So look, there's many, many different variations in terms of whether GST can apply or not apply, and it also depends on whether you're carrying on a business, which
can I ask one simple
sounds like
question?
A simple thing, but isn't.
One simple question. You are a landlord. You pay $66 for a service, right? $6 of that is GST. Can you claim the deduction for $66?
So are you a landlord of a residential rental property?
Yep, so yeah, I'm not paying GST.
Yep, and you're not subject to GST, or you're not registered for GST.
Correct.
You claim it on what you've paid, which is the $66.
So you're actually getting a deduction on the GST that
correct.
You paid out.
Correct.
Okay, very interesting.
But you don't get an input tax credit for that
$6. All right, 9221882 if you'd like to give us a call, and I figured we'd get a question about capital gains.
Here we go.
Here we go. Phil of Cannington. Hi, mate.
Yeah, g'day. How you going, guys?
Good.
This neighbour, a couple of beers a couple of weeks ago, we're talking about, you know, these house raffles you have, you know, Boys Town is getting quite a few over in WA now. If you won one of those houses, how does capital gains work out? You know, what figure do they start off with the base price type?
That's a good question.
Actually, that is a
really
good question,
question,
and Mark is going to answer that
he's fine. He's all across this one, mate.
I actually don't know anyone who's ever won one of those.
No, nor do I. What are you talking about?
It's funny about that.
So, look I suppose, okay, so the starting point with any capital gains tax is if you sell the asset, that's when you have to think about capital gains tax. If you had it as your personal property, so it was your main residence, okay, then it's not subject to capital gains tax. But if it wasn't your main residence, then it prima facie is, and you need to then look at whether you've got a cost base or not. Now, I actually don't know the answer to this question, but my guess is your cost base is probably the raffle ticket price.
Wow. So you could actually have quite
substantial. That's generally inflated, I reckon, too, isn't it?
Sure.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the value as stated on the raffle ticket?
That's right. I reckon they're quite often inflated. So, you know, I was just wondering how it would work.
It might be the $100 you paid for the raffle ticket.
No, you know, but the house price that they say
Yes. So you're not taxed on the receipt. So when you win the house, you don't get taxed at that point in time because that's a winning.
Sure.
Okay.
Windfall
gain. When you sell the house, that you need to consider the capital gains tax. Right.
Yeah. That's a really interesting point. I mean, because they say buy your ticket, you know, spend $50, and you could win
a million dollar house,
$575,000. Well, who says it's worth $575,000? It's a very good question, Phil. Because are the charities bound to actually get a sworn valuation for that house, or do they get a bloke like Rob Drew who has a look around and says, "I reckon it's $575,000"?
Exactly what we talked about over a beer.
General, but
you'd need a few beers to talk about this one.
It's amazing. You know, none of these great topics are ever solved over a couple of glasses of milk, are they?
But Mark, you bring up a good point. Is the consideration effectively just the $100 you paid for the ticket? That was your.
Look,
is that your cost
that'd
base?
That'd probably be my starting point. But I will say, with capital gains tax, there are market value deeming provisions that can apply.
Yeah, would be market value at the time.
I'm not aware
you got
of any
property.
That can apply to a winner. Win like this. But that's something that I would certainly look at if anyone came to
Mark's going
problem.
To be researching this over Christmas.
Great
going
question.
To be
right.
Yeah. But look, I think you'd be subject to capital gains tax when you sold it. And depending on how long you held it and whether it was your main residence for any period of time, you might get a discount there.
Anyone who has won a home in a charity auction, go to Aria Partners. Mark Zaglinski is now the expert.
He will be the expert.
I will be on Monday morning.
Phil, you've nailed it, mate. Well played.
Good on you. Thanks.
Thanks, mate. You're going to be hard to beat for the $100, I reckon. That was a very good... Never had that sort of a question before.
No.
Ever. Never, ever. What was the one we had last week?
Well, we've had some very insightful questions.
We've had some very, very insightful questions. Yeah. Oh, we had John Clary last week, and a dear lady rang up to wanting to know could John's from Icon Settlements, as you probably Icon Conveyancing or Settlements, as you probably know. This dear lady wanted to know if this John Clary could teach her Irish dancing as well.
From Icon Irish Dancing.
True enough. Jane of Maylands, you're next.
Talking property for Summit Homes Group. Visit summithomesgroup.com.au. Every Sunday morning on 6PR, we open the door to the House of Wellness.
With Christmas fast approaching, everyone's looking for a bargain. Kelly Landry's back this week with her Beauty Break Ultimate Christmas Shopping Guide, helping you find some great savings. Plus, pharmacist Gerald Quigley, here to take your calls. Get well, stay well, live well and look fabulous with the House of Wellness.
Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
The House of Wellness at the new time of 9 every Sunday morning on 6PR.
Hi, I'm Peter Vlahos, and here to tell you about a sporting chance in a lifetime. On March 30 next year, come and join me on WA's first ever organised English Premier League tour. Now, in the space of a week, watch championship-chasing clubs Liverpool at Anfield, Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, and Manchester United at Old Trafford, plus West Ham at the Olympic Stadium. Plus, watch the game from premium seats and staying at four-star hotels. Now, I've never seen a package like this. Inquire at motivetravel.com.au. Come along and let's share something special.
Dan Murphy's Christmas catalogue ends Sunday. Don't miss out on hundreds of unbeatable offers, like Villa Maria Private Bin Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc, only $9.40 and any six. 700ml bottles of Chivas Regal 12-year-old Scotch Whiskey, just $39 each. And cases of James Bogue's Premium Lager 375ml bottles for a low $44. Pick up the catalogue in-store or head to danmurphys.com.au. Remember, nobody beats Dan Murphy's. Enjoy responsibly. Prices valid till Sunday. Conditions apply.
I'm now speaking with Angelo Tomasoni from Summit Home Improvements about their home renovation service. Good morning to you, Angelo, and tell us more, mate.
G'day, Harvey. How are you today?
Yeah, really well, thanks, mate.
Yeah, well, Harvey, at Summit Home Improvements, we offer a complete home renovation service from concept, council approval and on-site project management to after-build service. We build ground floor extensions to second-story additions, and our highly trained professionals can tell you what's possible for your home.
Well, that does sound exciting, Angelo. What are the benefits of renovating with Summit Home Improvements?
Well, as you know, Harvey, building and renovating can be daunting, but we'll be there every step of the way. Our building team looks to minimise any disruptions or changes to your normal routine, so the process is as seamless as possible. And we follow up with a 6-month maintenance service and lifetime structural guarantee.
Well, all that remains now, Angelo, is how do we get in touch?
Well, you can visit us at our showroom at 83 McCoy Street, Myaree. Book a free consultation on 6365 2942 or summithomeimprovements.com.au.
Sounds like good advice to me. You have a great weekend, Angelo.
You too, Harvey.
That's Angelo Tomasoni from Summit Home Improvements.
Professional real estate agents use professional photographers because they know great photos sell properties. Today's buyers expect videos and 3D scans, and these are essential if you want to sell your home fast. Open to View provide real estate marketing solutions in photography, videos, floor plans, aerial photography, 3D scans, and signboards. Mention hearing this ad on 6PR, and Open to View will photograph and do a 3D scan of your listing for under $400, and they'll install a signboard for the front of your property free. Search Open to View online. Conditions apply.
The Renault triple threat has hit. Pain, inflammation, and restricted mobility. Get moving again with Voltaren Emyl Gel. Unlike heat rubs, Voltaren Emyl Gel is an anti-inflammatory medicine that penetrates the skin to target muscle pain precisely. Feel the benefits of Voltaren Emyl Gel 180 gram from Chemist Warehouse for $25.99. Always read the label, use only as directed. If symptoms persist, see your healthcare professional. Chemist Warehouse. Lowest prices guaranteed.
Buying, selling or renting. Get Perth's best real estate advice now. Call 922-11882.
Yes, and if you do call us on that number, you do go into the draw for the $100 cash, thanks to summitprojects.com.au. You can, by all means, send us a question on the text line if you like, 19999677, or pop an email into harvey@6pr.com.au. But calling us is the best, and that's precisely what Jane has done from Maylands. Thanks for waiting, Jane.
No
Oh, good morning, everyone. Yeah, I just like to query about the interest rates. It said, like, that they're about to rise even before Christmas. They could rise before Christmas.
Oh, they won't. So the Reserve Bank won't be. They don't have another meeting until January, so nothing's going to happen.
The official cash rate hasn't changed, but you are right, Jane. In fact, they have already. We've already seen some slight adjustments, only like 0.15% from some of the banks with their fixed rates. So I guess what it indicates is that, and we know that there's a complete decoupling now in the sense that, you know, what the Reserve Bank does and what banks do can be two different things. The banks can change their interest rates up or down on their own, whereas traditionally, going back, they always mirrored exactly what the Reserve Bank did. So it's a different environment. What it indicates is that perhaps we are at the bottom of the interest rate cycle. Mm. You know, when you start to see 3-5 year long-term fixed rates, fixed-term rates a change, you start to think, okay, well, that's an indicator of where things are probably likely to go. It's where the banks are predicting things are happening. Not substantial changes, nothing to be overly concerned about, but I would think indicates that perhaps we're at the bottom of the interest rate cycle.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is the cash rate's 1.5.
It's 1.5,
and that's down, when you think about it, 12 months is not a long time. This time last year it was 2%. So that's
It's the lowest 25%. In our lifetimes, yeah, Harvey. It's,
for sure.
You know, it's and if you look long term, the I think the average interest rate for mortgage is 5 to 6%, and we're sitting at the moment around 4 or a little bit under 4 with competitive rates. So you would think, yes, it is a low interest rate environment. Look at the economy, what's happening there, national economy, and you think, well, it's unlikely that we'll see any substantial rises in interest rates. We've had a very strong property market on the East Coast. That will change. They're at the top end of their cycle. When that corrects and we have a slowing of the market there, that would be a time that you'd think, well, there'll be less pressure to raise interest rates because obviously the market will slow. But and also we've got the potential with the change in the US, with perhaps a strengthening of the US dollar, that is going to have an impact on interest rates in the sense that the Reserve Bank won't need to lower rates as much, thinking to try and keep the Australian dollar down, which is what they've been trying to do. So there's all these different factors, but I think we can say overall we're probably at the bottom of the interest rate cycle. How does it affect you, Jane? You've got a mortgage and you're hoping that rates don't go up too much.
Yeah, just an investment. I've got a little bit of a owing on it. I just wondered if I should pay it off or...
Should always pay down debt as quick as you can, absolutely. Yeah. Of course, there's the other side of the equation, Jane. A lot of retirees who have been hit very hard with their income because interest rates have come down so much, and they'd be sitting there going, well, I don't mind. Put rates up and we'll get a higher income. So there's two sides of the equation.
Exactly, yeah, the cash amount. So the RBA, do you think they'll raise, like, next year, or?
There have been mutterings, haven't there?
There's been mutterings. I think most of the investment analysts are out there saying that they are anticipating one more rate drop, which is interesting.
Really?
But we're at that point, I think, where we're at the bottom. And not surprising at all at their meeting last week that they said, no, look, we'll keep the rate at the current cash rate at 1.5. I think if we do have any changes either side, up or down, it'll only be 25 base points or 0.25%, which is not a lot, or perhaps stay the same. You know, there are a lot of factors that play into it. And what happens with the Australian dollar is obviously a big player. What happens with the federal, total economy, what's happening there. So I don't think you're going to see much change, Jane, no. So, but certainly with debt and property, the sooner you can pay it off, the better you are. You've got a buffer there that you can always redraw on again. It's always better to put extra money away, which is what a lot of people have been doing in this sort of uncertain times.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Good
on
you,
said it was like the end of next year, but it's
well, we're all trying to predict the future, exactly, and you'll hear different analysts saying different things. And it might be that by the end of next year, yes, we start to see a little bit of a rise in interest rates, you know, just because of the cycle that you're pretty much at the bottom of the cycle now. I can't imagine rates going down a lot more. However, if the economy deteriorated, and we did have a negative quarter there, didn't we, the figures that came out this week, that indicates that, perhaps the national economy is not as strong as we thought, and if that slips further, then that would provide, a reason for them to drop rates to try and stimulate.
Mm. Thank you,
good on you. Thank you very much, Jane.
Time will tell.
9221882. And I suppose, in a way, we're in a bit of a holding pattern. You're talking about the US dollar and US politics in general.
Oh, yeah, we're all waiting to see what's going to happen.
Exactly. And that's Donald. Not going to happen until next month when Trump actually takes over. Anyone who.
But you would.
Anyone who appoints a defence secretary by the name of Mad Dog worries me just a little bit.
It's not surprising, though. But if you look at the US economy, Mark, you probably play into this too, and look at the proposed infrastructure program, what they're talking about, the money that they're talking about spending there, and he's also looking at some tax breaks, isn't he, to try and get money back into the US.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to do a few things, isn't he? He's trying to
build a wall.
He's trying to build a wall, of course.
Well, that costs money.
It will. He wants to encourage all of the US multinationals to repatriate
money.
Cash back into the US. So for a long time, a lot of men using tax shelter techniques by keeping money offshore, but he's trying to just give them a little bit of time, bring it back, give them
is he going to give
them
a bit of a tax break?
Yeah, he will. He will.
Which is probably not a bad idea, is it, to get money back into the country?
Exactly.
And you need the money for infrastructure spending?
The number they're talking about is tens of trillions of dollars of cash.
It's a lot.
Held offshore, right, by the Googles and the Apples and companies like that as well. Mm. So that'll be interesting.
Now, that would strengthen the US dollar. That money comes back. Well, you get infrastructure spending.
You do. And, of course, you've got foreign exchange implications there. But also then he's looking at reducing tax rates in the US as well. So what we're seeing globally now is this movement to reduce company tax rates.
Yes.
Okay. And that's believed to be a measure that encourages companies to invest more. Which he's obviously a stimulus style of president. So that'll be interesting. But I think all of that will put pressure on interest rates to go up, probably.
Yep, US interest rates to go up.
That's right. And then what happens with the rest of the world is they'll probably follow to some extent because they're trying to get their dollars in parity to some extent. So it will be interesting.
And we're due for our rates to come up because it is artificially low. Mm. We haven't seen in our lifetimes 1.5% cash rate. So we are due to it rise, but not substantially, I wouldn't thought. However, I guess we've got to keep it in a measure. If we look at it 4% as a mortgage rate at the moment and a long-term average of 6%, that is a 50% increase in repayments.
Mm.
So we've got to keep that in, you know, it is a significant, any increase is being from such a low base is quite a, have a significant impact.
Whether it's a good or bad thing, the Reserve Bank have been pretty successful in subduing the dollar. I mean, we're around the 75 mark and have been for ages and ages. Not that long ago.
Yeah, but they've been trying to get it lower than that. They haven't been able to get it down to the 70 mark.
No, well, we don't want that, thank you. Those of us that do like a bit of travelling. But
the farmers might say otherwise.
Well, no doubt they would. It's not that long ago, and I can't remember exactly when, 12, 18 months ago, when we were virtually parity with the American dollar. So
And end of 13, we were above.
Yeah.
It was 105 up to 110 at one stage.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, we've got a free and completely clear board for you and your queries on 9221882, and you may well walk away today with $100 cash from summitprojects.com.au. As I said, feel free to send an email to harvey@6br.com.au or a text to 19999677.
Talking property for Summit Homes Group. Visit summithomesgroup.com.au.
Settlement agents, also known as conveyancers, are professionally trained to represent sellers and buyers in the settlement process, transferring the legal ownership of property. The Australian Institute of Conveyancers WA recommends you appoint a licensed settlement agent before you buy or sell your property. Consumers have the right to choose their own settlement agent. You don't have to use the one recommended by a real estate agent. Head to aicwa.com.au and enter your postcode to find a settlement agent in your area.
During the BMW Demonstrator Clearance, you will uncover exceptional savings across the ultimate driving machine range. Finish the year in style and visit Auto Classic or West Coast BMW today. Terms, conditions and exclusions apply.
Cracking Christmas deals on now at Harvey Norman. Save 40% on Call of Duty Infinite War, a crazy $49. Save over $70 on the Lenovo laptop with 8GB RAM and 2GB dedicated graphics, just $598. Nikon D3400 Digital SLR, price smashed to just $478. Save a massive $80 on the stylish Fitbit Alta, now only $97. Hurry, get Christmas sorted with more cracking deals now at Harvey Norman.
Go. This Christmas, the fresh fruit and veg you want is Coles Fresh.
Coles Fresh loose truss tomatoes, just $3 a kilo. And Aussie nectarines, just $5 a kilo.
If you love fresh fruit and veg for Christmas, the fruit and veg you want is at Coles.
This is Talking Property on 882 6PR, the voice of Perth.
And from Aria Partners, Mark Zaglinski is in the studio with Rob and myself today to answer your questions, particularly in regards to the taxes that are involved with property, Rob.
Yes, and there's one, I've got a question for you without notice, Mark.
Thank you, Rob.
Not quite as hard as Phil's first question today, but there's a lot of misunderstanding in relation to capital gains tax or tax implications when you subdivide your principal residence. I think there's a general view, oh, it's my main residence, there's no tax involved, I can subdivide the back block off, sell it, and I'll have no tax to pay.
Yeah, okay. So, and that is, as you say, a common misconception. So, you know, I think most people just need to remember when you sell a property, okay, whether it's your home or otherwise, you've got to think about whether or not capital gains tax will apply. And it can apply to your main residence in certain circumstances, and it can also can apply when you do subdivisions, which, as you know, are quite common. The capital gains tax exemption for your main residence has a lot of conditions. And one of them is that you sell the properties together at the same time, right? So, for example, if I had a farm and there might be multiple titles there, then there's a restriction that says you'll only get an exemption for 2 hectares, and it's that land that is immediately adjacent to the property, right, which a lot of people forget about. But probably the more common one is, you know, in a suburban subdivision of blocks, and they are typically subject to capital gains tax. And in some instances, for some of them, it could be subject to income tax as well. So capital gains tax isn't too bad because at least you might get a 50% reduction in the overall taxable amount. But if you do this regularly, it might be considered that you're carrying on some form of business and therefore it's subject to normal income tax and not capital gains tax.
So I guess the thing is get advice before you go ahead and do it and find out what your position is. And then you'll know because you don't want to be getting a tax bill down the track that you weren't expecting.
Indeed.
Exactly. All right, let's head off to Helena Valley. G'day, Steve.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. How are you?
We're well.
Just a quick one. Young bloke, he's got a rental property in... where are we? Ellenbrook. And, and the people advise...
Technical term that, yes?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's right.
They want to drop the rent by $100 a week. They reckon they get a 3x2 out there for $320. You got any idea?
Probably. Rents have compressed, which is a nice word, instead of crashing, falling, diving. They have compressed quite considerably right across Perth metropolitan area. Now, this is your son, is it? He's a tenant, he's renting, you were saying?
He owns
the property. Okay, okay. Yeah. So he's on the unfortunate other side of the equation. The winner in this current rental market certainly are the tenants because rents have come back. How long has the tenant been in that property?
12 months.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe not quite 12 months. It's pretty transient at the moment out there.
Yes, it is. And look, there is a lot of stock out there. There's a lot of selection for tenants out there. And it is very hard as an agent at the moment having to tell our landlords, look, I'm really sorry, but where you were getting $420 a week, you're now getting $320 a week. That's the market. It could very well be the case. It's not an unusual occurrence, and it's not an amount which, even though it sounds incredible that it could drop that much, one of the easy ways for you to tell quickly would just get onto rewa.com, have a look at rentals in the area, and you can...
Yeah, that's what I said, and just ring up a few real estate places and see what they've got out there.
Yeah, and see what they've got out there, and put yourself in the position of the tenant. What are the opportunities out there? And I think you'll soon find between 300 and 350, there's plenty of those out there that you could rent.
Exactly. He's got a 4x2, but as you say, everyone doesn't need a 3x4x2, do they? And the saying that, you know, like if he says no, it's only 2 months rent, that's what I'll say to him, you know what I mean?
That's right, and you have vacancy. Not only that, but there's also a leasing fee, which is generally about 2 weeks' rent for the agent to go through all the work of finding a new tenant. So effectively, it's 4 weeks, and then you know it could be longer before it's relet. So you want to keep the same tenant if they're a good tenant. You can always negotiate. Look, the rent, the market might be $320. Maybe they're paying $420. The market might be $320, but perhaps they might be prepared to pay $350 for the convenience of not having to move. It's a matter of negotiation. So you can get the property manager to negotiate.
Sure, try and lock them in for a bit longer term sort of thing at that sort of price, yeah.
Yeah, a 12-month lease and then review it in 12 months. I think we're probably not going to see any major increases in rentals for some time. It'll be more than 12 months before we start to see rent starting to move the other way.
Yeah, it's probably just where it's supposed to be anyway, I should imagine.
Yeah, it got a little bit ahead of itself with the market capping out in 2012, which is amazing how completely different from where it is now. It overshot completely. We've now probably undershot. You know, we've gone too far the other way, and it will come back to a level, but that will take a couple of years. So the important thing at the moment as a landlord is you've got a good tenant, keep them there. Unfortunately, take a lower rent, but it's better than having the property vacant.
That's it. Okay, thanks very much.
No, thanks for calling us, Steve. We appreciate that. Got one here for you, Mark, from the text. It's from James. Thank you, James. If a residential subdivision is subject to a capital gains tax, can the mortgage cost be used as a deduction?
Okay, so...
We're getting some good ones.
Yeah,
getting some the answer is maybe. So
he's got a career in politics ahead of
him. Yeah,
him.
I know. Well, it's so everything is dependent on facts and tax. Okay, and that wasn't meant to rhyme. But if you have a main residence and you've borrowed money and you're not subdividing that property at the time, you cannot claim an interest deduction for that property at that point in time. If at some point in time you subdivide and you've incurred or borrowed money specifically for that subdivision, then there may be a sufficient nexus between that borrowing, the interest that you pay, and the gain that you make as well. So look, I would say before you borrow money or before you subdivide, go and talk to someone and just look at the structure that you have in place, make sure it's appropriate, and there may be some benefit or some ability to claim some interest deduction or claim part of it as a cost base for that subdivision.
All right. Thank you for that one. 922 118 82. It's a bit quiet on the phones today. I do have another one here. How am I assessed? This is to do with land tax. They're all coming for you today, mate. Mark, how am I assessed if I own some land individually and some land with other owners?
That's quite handy, really, isn't it? Because it'll be a different entity, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And look, I'll say land tax is not an area that we typically practice in. It's typically something that we don't get involved in. But the basics of land tax is any property that you have an interest in yourself could be subject to land tax or forms part of the taxable basis for land tax. So the fact that you might own it with others is not necessarily relevant, although we do need to look at if you own it through an entity, so that might be through a trust or a company or otherwise. Hmm. But if it's in your name and it's not your principal residence, then you need to be
land tax is assessable.
Land tax.
The good thing, though, is in that case, it would be a separate entity, so because it's a progressive tax, isn't it? So if you've got all of your property in your name, if you're lucky enough to have a number of properties, of course, it's all put together and the rate goes up as the value goes up because it's all amalgamated. So if you had three properties and one of them was in your name, the other two were in your name but in conjunction with another party, then they are all independent assessable entities.
Yep.
There's a tax threshold for land tax of $300,000, so you might be lucky enough to be under that or pay less tax that way. So it is a better situation in that regard.
Okay, 922 118 82. You know the number, and we do have $100 up for grabs today, thanks to summitprojects.com.au. Just while we do have a slight lull in proceedings, what have you out there in the market today, Mr. Druitt?
I actually don't have any auctions today. Oh. Just the normal home opens.
I noticed you weren't sort of dressed up like
PDC
today with your little gavel in your...
Quieten down a little bit, although basically it's the first weekend, first Saturday I haven't had an auction. I've got two tomorrow for Passmore Real Estate in Naranda and Dianella for Mark and Deborah Passmore there, so that'll be interesting. You know? But no auctions today, but certainly our REWA members were all out there today. Today, I guess this weekend is almost the last really productive weekend before Christmas. Next weekend, you know, we're pretty much, you know, we're only 1 week away from Christmas, so you'd imagine it'll quieten down even more. So you'll find lots of home opens this weekend from agents, you know, keen to get contracts for their sellers before Christmas.
All right, we'll take a little break and hopefully we'll get some more of your questions up very soon. It's coming up to 20 minutes to 10 and Sports World follows the 10 o'clock news.
Talking property for Summit Homes Group. Visit summithomesgroup.com.au.
City Toyota.
City Toyota is all about the added touches. I got a free tank of fuel with my new car and they even paired my phone to hands-free. They also offered Toyota finance to help me upgrade and kept me covered with Toyota insurance once I drove it out of the dealership.
You get more at City Toyota. citytoyota.net.au.
City Toyota. City Toyota.
DL12195.
Settlement agents, also known as conveyancers, are professionally trained to represent sellers and buyers in the settlement process, transferring the legal ownership of property. The Australian Institute of Conveyancers WA recommends you appoint a licensed settlement agent before you buy or sell your property. Consumers have the right to choose their own settlement agent. You don't have to use the one recommended by a real estate agent. Head to aicwa.com.au and enter your postcode to find a settlement agent in your area.
Power your summer with a new Yamaha 4-stroke with free command link gauges and controls. Selected models only. Find your nearest stockist at yamaha-motor.com.au.
The following is brought to us, I'm sorry, we're having a little bit of levity here in the studio, but we're here for Harcourt's Kalamunda, and I'm delighted to say that Chris is online now. G'day, mate, how are you going?
Oh, real thanks. How about yourself?
Yeah, really well, thanks, mate. Look, if you're looking for a hills lifestyle, we've spoken to you about this before, Chris, and it's very, very exciting, and you've still got some units left, I understand.
Yeah, we still have four lovely penthouses right in the centre of Kalamunda. Fabulous architecture, design products, cedar stone kitchen bentops and bathrooms, Maori floorboards, quite large three-bedroom, two bathrooms, and with the largest one also has a study, plus a powder room, all air-conditioned throughout. They're all open today between 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock, and again tomorrow between 1 and 3 p.m. as well.
When you think of the location, Chris, it's just absolutely amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's just literally close to everything. You're not far. If you want to go into Perth, you're not far away. If you, you know.
Well, you're only less than 15 minutes to the airport. You're less than 30 minutes to the city if you want to go to the city, as far as the city. You've got beautiful bushland surrounding Kalamunda totally, magnificent trails and walks through. It's just a fantastic little township up here, and people are just learning all about it continuously.
Yeah, they are indeed. And it's really important that people move quickly. There's no two ways about that. And I think you mentioned that they're open today from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m.
Yes, they're open today, 2 hours, and again on Sunday between 1 and 3. So if anybody's out here, it's going to be a lovely day today, and please come along and have a look at them.
Yeah, get in nice and early. Now, is there anywhere where we can go online just to have a bit of a look and so people can get something in their minds before they turn up?
Yeah, look, they're on all the standard real estate sites. If you punch in Central Heights, Kalamunda, you'll come across them. Of course, harcourts.com.au and realestate.com.au as well.
Yeah, of course. And what about some sort of a mobile number to pester you for
some... Well, they can pester me as much as they like. It's Chris at Harcourts Kalamunda at 0418-905-462.
All right, well, shouldn't imagine they'll last very long. If we don't talk to you before Christmas, mate, have a wonderful Christmas, and we'll probably chat in the new year when you've got some more exciting developments to tell us about.
Thanks very much, having all the best to you and your team.
Good on you, Chris. That's Chris from Harcourt's Kalamunda.
Old fridge not keeping cool or undersized for your family? Purchase a participating Westinghouse or Electrolux refrigerator from Harvey Norman and receive up to $200 cash back. Harvey Norman has an extensive range of Westinghouse and Electrolux refrigerators to suit your needs. Plus, for a limited time at Harvey Norman, receive up to $200 cash back on the new release models from famous brands Westinghouse and Electrolux. Cashback via redemption. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details. Hurry. Offer is for a limited time only at Harvey Norman.
For the biggest range and lowest prices, nobody beats Dan Murphy's. Here's proof.
Get six bottles of McGuigan Black Label varieties for only $34. 10 packs of Smirnoff Ice Double Black 375ml cans at just $36 each. And don't miss two cases of Corona 355ml bottles for an unbeatable $88. Shop in store or online at danmurphys.com.au. Remember, nobody beats Dan Murphy's. Enjoy responsibly. Valid until Thursday. Conditions apply.
Until 10, this is Talking Property.
And after the 10 o'clock news, it is Sports World. It'll be hosted today by Adam Papalia, ably assisted by Kim Hagdorn and Tom Moody. Paps, did you get any sleep last night, mate? You had me on the edge of my seat. I should have been working at home on stuff last night, but there I was watching the Wild. So they're going to throw it away again.
Yeah.
But they didn't. They hung on for dear life, didn't they?
Yeah, they got close. I mean, Casey Prather dropping 39 points was a big help for them, but some of the shooting from Casper Ware for Melbourne United just about dragged them back into the contest, and Perth struggled to handle the ball a little bit down the stretch, but they were able to hang on, and it was really important for them as well, given how even the NBL season is at the moment. They went from bottom at the start of yesterday, and they then went up to seventh after a result with Cairns losing, and then with a win, they went into the top four. So it's just such an even season at the moment in the NBL, and a much needed win for the Wildcats because they've got their next five games on the road.
Oh yeah, they have. And how the injuries, what's the injury update with the Wildcats?
No new injuries out of last night, which is good. I think Trevor Gleeson will be pretty happy with that, given the run that they've had recently. But yeah, a good win by the Wildcats, and a good for them to the noise in the building actually last night was immense.
We know why.
Why is that?
Rob Druitt was there.
Lucky enough to be there.
I thought I could hear you screaming over my back. We certainly right shoulder.
Yeah, well, we were very pleased First National to be one of the sponsors, and it was a great. Yeah. Well, a little bit nail-biting, I tell you. Yeah, we were thinking that in the last quarter there. Oh,
but
my goodness.
That's what you want. You want it to be close.
Yeah.
You know, towards the end of the game. Everyone certainly did.
Well, you'll be pleased to pass this on to Trevor Gleeson. There is no more passionate supporter of the Wildcats than my youngest daughter, Leanne, and her family. And she said that she was just, it's her birthday tomorrow, so happy birthday, darling. But she said that she just couldn't get there last night, and she figures that's the reason they won.
She'll be disappointed because they've probably lost the last few games she's been to.
She hardly ever misses a game. Yeah. Mate, what else is on the program today?
We've got Justin Langer coming up on the program. He's going to coach the Australian 2020 side in February when there's a conflicting schedule between the Test side and the T20 side. So he's going to join us and chat about that, chat about WA's win during the week and just how things are travelling at the moment. As you said, Kim Hagdorn, Tom Moody with me, and with plenty to talk about. A lot going on in the AFL. Preseason fixtures released this week. We'll talk about that. And also the one day yesterday, David Warner, his seventh ton of the year. He's been in remarkable form, and the Aussies now getting set to take on Pakistan this week.
What would they have made if he hadn't?
Not much at all. No, not much at all. He certainly saved their bacon.
He did. Good on you, mate. Look forward to Sports World after 10 o'clock. Now, who have we got? Liz, I think, of Alkimos. G'day, Liz.
Hi. I live out at Alkimos Beach.
And be nice out there today.
Yeah, it is. Very hot.
Straight down the beach after this phone call. How can we help you?
I'm thinking about putting my house on the market.
Right.
And I just want to know how the real estate people price your home. How do they come to a valuation of your house?
Look, and that's...
Have you ever seen a dartboard?
Yes, right. We have a big dartboard in our office, and if we're really not sure, we do it blindfolded. No, that's not true. That's not true at all. Look, and real estate has become a lot more specialised, and hence the reason that local agents tend to work in their local area because they understand the local area and they understand the values and what things are selling for. So generally speaking, as a real estate agent, you work on the market worth of a property. We generally don't use the word value because that is what a valuer does, a sworn valuation. We do a market appraisal. It's based on your experience, and you basically look at it and say, well, what else has sold in the area? Similar style of home, what did it sell for, and then what were the features and benefits of that home that may add or detract from what your property to get an idea of where it is in the marketplace. Also, we look at what's on the market. So what is the competition out there? What would buyers be looking at when they look at your home? What else would they be looking at? And how well priced are those properties? It's all very well to look at the competition, but if all the competition is $50,000 over the market not selling, it's not the market. So we look at that. Then you can also do, like valuers do, a summation method, which is, okay, what's the value of the land if it was a vacant block of land, and what's the value of the improvements? What would we think that the house would be worth? You know, it's a 10-year-old home, it's a 5-year-old home, it would cost $250,000 brand new, it's 5 years old, so maybe we'll put $150,000 to $175,000 on the improvements. The land is worth, you know, $250,000, $300,000. Okay, it's $475,000 or you know, and then we say, well, you know, in the sales evidence indicates that it's $450,000 to $475,000. So all of these things we put together to come up with an approximation of where we see the market worth of the property.
And what about their fees? How do you work out what to pay for?
Once again, we get a dartboard. No, we don't. So, no, fees are competitive. Fees are negotiable. Back in the late 90s, we had a scale of fees, which generally everybody charged. And they're not too different from that now. Generally speaking, fees are in the 2 to 3% plus GST, depending on the value of the property. And in the mix, when you sit down with your agent, they will explain what their selling fees are and also what their marketing charges are. So, and then they'll say, well, look, you know, we believe that you should spend $500 or $1,000 or whatever it is. This is our marketing program, and these are our fees. So fees will vary a bit between agents, generally not dramatically, but it is commensurate with the level of service that they provide on the property. So if you get, the general thing is, unless you've got, the best thing is to have a referral from someone you know who has used that an agent and has been very happy with the work that they've done. But if you haven't, then you can go to REWA, REWA website, and choose, say, three prominent REWA agents in your area and get them in to give you an appraisal and ask them, where do you see the market value of the property and what are your fees and charges?
That's how it works, Liz. Thank you very much for your call. We've got a couple more to come, as usual there. It's a bit of a last-minute rush. Nancy of Kalamunda. G'day, Nance.
Hello, morning, Harvey. I just want to know if a property for sale subject to land tax assessment, because we got our properties for sale and it's languishing and we were sent by land tax assessment.
Yep. Okay, now, so it's not your main residence. You don't live in it. It's an investment property?
No, it's not an investment property, but we live in another. We bought a house before we sold this property.
Right. I'm still struggling to understand. Okay. So the property you've got on the market, you don't live in?
It's we don't live in it now because we already bought the property.
Oh, okay, yes.
Hold it.
Okay, I understand. Yes. No, well, you're in transit between your main residence and a new main residence.
Yes.
Generally, there is a concession. If you're not renting that property out.
It's languishing in the market now.
Yes, okay.
It's been listed for a month now, and we've been sent this land tax assessment.
Okay, you've been sent it. Okay, that's interesting because land tax is assessed on ownership as of 30 June each year. So were you in, you obviously were not living in the property 30 June?
No, this year? We're not, but the property is for sale, supposed to be.
Has it been for sale since then?
No, the property has been listed in October.
Okay, well, all right. Well, then, it was listed in October. That's another issue. But if, as of 30 June this year, if you were not living in the property and it was an investment property, then it would be subject to land tax.
Investment property. It's subject to sale.
Okay, but was it vacant? Was it occupied?
No, we were renovating it.
You were renovating it. Okay. Yes. All right, you might need to you need to talk to land tax Office of State Revenue about it. Have you ever rented the property out?
No.
Was your principal residence. Okay. I'm not 100% sure, but I think you should get a concession for it. You shouldn't be assessable for land tax because it was your main residence. When did you buy your new residence?
We bought the new residence in May.
In May before. Okay, so you've got two. All right. Look, I think there is a transition period. You need to talk to Office of State Revenue about it. The fact that you've never rented it out, you haven't had it as investment property, it's just taken some time to sell because of the nature of the market at the moment, and that you were renovating the home for selling, may mean that you're not liable to land tax.
Thank you.
But
so
it'd be worth. Yeah, I can't say for sure. So I'm not trying to give you tax advice. So I would be talking to Office of State Revenue, explaining the situation, because generally speaking, it will only be accessible if it is your investment property, and clearly it's in transit.
Okay, thank you very much, Nancy. Now, our very first caller, by the way, who is our winner of the $100 thanks to summitprojects.com.au, is Phil of Cannington. It was a standout question. It was an absolute ripper. What happens if you win a home in a charity auction? You pay, I don't know, $50-$100 for your ticket, and guess what? You've won $1 million home.
The and capital, then you sell it. What is your
and then
is
you
capital
sell it.
Gain?
What capital gains implications are there? And Mark, with his team of thousands of researchers, has been working
team
on this.
One.
It was deeply disturbing and a little bit unsettling that I couldn't recall the answer. But, deep in the recesses of my mind, I did recall reading a ruling on this. And that ruling was issued in 1990, which is when I think I read it. But,
no wonder you...
So I just slowly had to work back year by year through all the rulings I've read. So this particular ruling talks about lottery winnings. So lottery winnings typically are not taxable, okay? They're just a windfall.
Mm.
But this particular ruling deals with property items that might be subject to capital gains tax. And what it says is that if you subsequently sell that property, so real estate, it is subject to capital gains tax. However, your cost base is the market value at the time that you won the property.
That makes sense, doesn't it?
Now, and it does. And we're kind of going through an analogy. If you won $500,000 cash and bought a property and sold it, well, you know, that would be your cost base, wouldn't it? So this is a deeming provision. Of course, we raised that issue earlier about, you know, if the ticket says the prize is worth $500,000, it doesn't mean that that's your cost base. It's always good to get a market value.
So Phil wins $100. He can go out and maybe buy two tickets and maybe win a house. And have the cost base of what the value was at the time.
Sounds like you might
good
already
question,
won one.
Thank you.
How do we get in touch with you at ARIA Partners, please?
Oh, look at our website, www.ARIA.com.
Okay, excellent. And you've got some...
Yep, the usual home opens in Edaloo and Scarborough and Doubleview.
Lovely.
So looking forward to it.
Thanks very much. Thanks to Andrew for producing Talking Property today. Hope you'll join me for the weekend from 12 noon through till 4 o'clock. That comes up after Sports World with Adam Papalia, Tom Moody and Kim Hagdorn. Stand by now, though, for the news.
Talking Property for Summit Homes Group. Visit summithomesgroup.com.au.